My guest at this time is Patrick J. Buchanan. You probably know him best as a three-time presidential candidate. He also served in three Republican presidential administrations, and he is the author most recently of Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? If you missed the first installment of my conversation with Mr. Buchanan relating to America's debt crisis and the best way out of it, please look for that part of the conversation elsewhere on the website. We now pick up the conversation as I ask Mr. Buchanan about another major thesis of his book, that America's increasing disregard for Christianity and America's Christian roots is leading to America's disintegration. Pat, you lay out in the book of how America, fiscally speaking, is following the pattern of Europe and all the issues that we're seeing them face right now. But it's not just on the fiscal side. It's also in terms of religion and morality. You talk a lot in the book about how America moving further and further away from our Christian roots are a major problem. You talk about how the new numbers show that at least a quarter of America's young adults don't really feel like they have any sort of religious affiliation whatsoever, and the impact that that's had of secularism over the last few generations. What is the next shoe to drop if that continues? You talk about abortion and the disintegration of the family and so forth. What will that continue to look like if that doesn't change?
Well, I think you've described it very well. There's no question about it that Christianity is virtually dead in Europe. The Pope called it a desert of godlessness in Europe. And in the United States, it is diminishing. It's losing its force. Many of the old Protestant congregations are sundering, splitting in half over issues of morality. The Catholic Church is in a deep crisis. One in every three cradle Catholics has left the church, and two of three parochial schools have shut down since the 1960s. I think, then, and I write in that chapter, The End of Christian America, what are the consequences of de-Christianization? And one of them is the decomposition of a society. Let me give you a few figures. I think illegitimacy in the white community was about 2% in the 1950s and about 8% in the African-American community. It is now 28% in the white community. It is 51% in the Hispanic community and 71% in the black community. And that means the family is broken down completely. And the illegitimacy rate is a perfect indicator of the crime rate, the drug rate, the incarceration rate, the dropout rate. And that's what we see among these folks, Hispanics and African Americans, dropout rates of 50% in high school. The kids who do graduate are learning at 7th, 8th, and 9th grade levels. So I think you're seeing a decomposition of society. And another thing it produces is culture wars, a loss of moral community. I mean, whatever you say about the America of the 30s or the 50s, we were a moral community. We all had the same ideas of what was right and what was wrong. Some of us didn't always do what was right, but we had the idea and we knew what was right. And nowadays, there's a disagreement. I mean, is the right to choose an abortion, is that a sign of progress, or is that a sign of decadence and decline when 50 million unborn children have been done to death? So this is what concerns me much more than any foreign threat right now, is the decomposition and the breakdown of American society at many levels and for many reasons.
And one of the things you point out in the book, and this is very interesting, is that this increasing secularism has a particular hostility towards Christianity, but for some reason seems relatively hospitable to Islam. Why is that?
Well, I think its enemy is really they think that the Christian community and Christianity, and especially traditional Christianity, and its moral code, these are the things it detests and despises. And some of the reasons are because it rejects them and indulges in what the Christians are telling them is immoral behavior. And nobody likes that at all. But with regard to Islam, it is fearful, frankly, of Islam. I mean, Hollywood will mock and ridicule Catholics and Protestant ministers and make portray them as fools. You will not see an assault upon Muhammad because, candidly, the Muslim folks will retaliate, and it might not be peaceful. And, you know, when that movie came out, The Messenger, they put the picture of Muhammad up there, Anthony Quinn. The Islamic folks simply called up the theaters and said, if you put that movie on the screen, we're going to blow up your theater. And so Hollywood tends to respond to those folks.
Pat, when it comes to reversing this trend, with a quarter of America's young adults not feeling any sort of religious affiliation whatsoever, a lot of folks would say, you know, it stems from their parents or perhaps even their grandparents at this point being part of the 60s movement away from God, and that's only accelerated over time. So with that kind of momentum in that direction, how does it change?
Well, you touch on a very important point. I was in the Nixon White House, and we basically waged a cultural war against, as did Ronald Reagan, against this counterculture, which it was then in the 60s, the moral, cultural, social revolution, the rejection of all the old values, the transvaluation of all values, as Nietzsche put it. We waged political conflict against it and rolled up 49 state landslides. Greg, you can't do that today. California is gone the other way. New York is gone. Illinois is gone. And so I don't know how you turn it around. And this is one reason why I'm somewhat pessimistic. I can see how a great leader like Ronald Reagan, with a Congress which was supportive and understood the mistakes that he made, can solve the budget problem. I can see how they can solve other problems, bring troops home from various places and really retrench. But I don't see how they solve a problem that is beyond politics like this, because this goes to the heart of people's beliefs. As I write, in the 50s, we were a child-centered community, and now we are a self-centered community. And how do you stop a situation where the women are not producing enough children to replace the existing population? The answer is the population dies. I mean, the people may have a good life, but the population eventually dies. When the faith dies, the culture dies, the civilization dies, and the people die. Not one country in Europe has a birth rate that will enable its native-born to survive with anything like the numbers they have today by mid-century.
You say there's a very important distinction that Americans really need to make between freedom and equality. You say that the idea that everyone is equal in some ways is true and that we all have the same rights, but for us to basically consider everyone essentially the same is a big mistake, as opposed to freedom, which allows the individual to flourish. Explain how we've gotten confused on that and how you clarify that.
Sure. I think that's one of the reasons why this idea that has gotten itself accepted and embraced by virtually everyone is that people must be more equal, how that portends a disaster for the country. There's no doubt that in the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson spoke of our God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, basic human rights. And then the Constitution assures us of our constitutional rights to free speech and all the others, and lack of no interference from government. So equality of rights is something Americans all agree on. And we have come to agree that we all ought to provide, to the degree we can, an equality of opportunity. But people's success or failure is based on other factors, nature and nurture, talents. I mean, musical talents, academic talents, athletic talents, artistic talents, they're not equally distributed. And people succeed in a free society if they work hard and they're talented, they're going to do very well. Others aren't. And a hierarchy is the natural concomitant, a hierarchy of talent and a hierarchy of success is a natural concomitant of a free society. The only way we're going to get everybody's equal in incomes and equal in economic wealth and the rest of it is an endless transfer of wealth from those who have earned it and produced it to those who did not. Absolute equality mandates an absolute end to freedom. Let me tell you, Greg, I was one of those fortunate ones to be on Richard Nixon's trip to China. In 1972, it was the most equal society I've ever seen, and one of the worst things I'd ever seen. Everybody looked the same, dressed the same. Nobody had any cars. Nobody had any or very few benefits over anyone else. And then China lifted the lid, and now there's enormous inequality, but far more freedom. Freedom and equality are at war with one another.
Pat Buchanan is a three-time presidential candidate, served in three Republican presidential administrations, and is author of the new book, Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? There's a third installment of this conversation I encourage you to check out on this same site, in which Mr. Buchanan will take a look at the changing demographics of America and why that matters for America's long-term survival. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.